What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Halfway stage reached in the Cheltenham Festival. It's From the Horse's Mouth coming at you with Ruby Walsh at Cheltenham and Rory De Largy in Riyadh, which is quite the combination. Well done to those who followed some of the selections on day one. Ruby, you tipped up the big double. Go on, State Man Lossy Mouth, and it was never in doubt. You love a short double. By the way, in shops we went 130 for 15 minutes on that, so happy days.
Yeah, for what, 20 quid?
Tenner,
all right, grand. Look, they were brilliant, PK. Really good performances, and yeah, delighted for Paul. Some great rides, big decisions. It was great to watch.
It was a brilliant first day, obviously 6-1 to Ireland. We're recording on Tuesday evening, looking ahead to Thursday, so we don't know what's happened on day two, but what we do know is that the Irish horses seem to be peaking again, Rory, at the right time. I know we were expecting a lot of Irish winners on day one, but the Brits got one. Hey.
And the race, they always win. I think, you'll never... Well, Ruby won that on Dundura, and it was a miracle ride. How he won that from where he was at the top of the hill, I don't know.
I tell you now, Rory, the second last fence was bypassed, and if the second last fence wasn't bypassed, he'd never have won, because he was jumping like, I don't know what.
Camel.
A bull. Yeah. That's the only reason he won.
So there you go. So that was that. You Never Walk Alone won it a couple of years before that. And before that, it was 1966, and Jim Draper and Pat Taff were the previous Irish winners of that race. So that is pretty much a gimme for the Brits every year, isn't it?
No, there you go. 6-1 to Ireland after day one. We'll look ahead to day three shortly. A few notes from producer Mark. Again, a reminder... Cheltenham fans on Friday, running out of time to get your tickets for it on Friday. I was going to say afternoon. You may even sneak in the morning. Not sure what time the doors open. Link in the show notes for all the details in the Camden and Dublin. Great way to spend Friday. And if there's as many winning favourites and fancied horses as there were on day one, I tell you what, that place could fall down by the end of the day. Really good fun. Check out the details, as I said, in the show notes for that. Also, the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel has got loads of good stuff, including a brilliant episode with Brian Cooper, the Cheltenham Rewind, amongst others. Loads of good stuff there. And these podcasts are going to be on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube if you want to see our mugs. And the final bit from producer Mark is free bet on Thursday, paddypower.com. Check it out. Everyone gets a free bet again for the day's action. Okay, let's look ahead to the first race. It is the Turner's Novice Chase at the Golden Miller, or Rory corrects me, Facile Vega, at the time of recording on Tuesday evening, the 11-4 joint favourite Grey Dawning for Dan and Harry Skelton. You got Ginny's Destiny at 3-1 and Iroko at 11-2 at 16's bar. It could be between those four, Rory De Largy, or is it?
Yeah, I don't see anything else getting involved. I really like Iroko as well, but that'll be a great training performance to get him back on just a second chase start to win this race, having been almost officially scratched for the season after his debut. He was impressive in his debut, but it wasn't a terribly deep race. I think he's a horse of an awful lot of potential down the line, but you'd make him maybe the least likely of the quartet given his preparation for this. I am surprisingly coming round to Facile Vega here. The one thing I've said about Facile Vega so far is... I think he's the one horse that Willie's got wrong in that he's persisted in running him over 2 miles when I think he's regularly shown that he's not particularly comfortable at the trip. He still has a question or two to answer, but the Irish Arkle form works out pretty well. The first and second ran well in the Arkle itself behind Gaelic Warrior. So the Irish Novice Chase form is beginning to work out very strongly. And I think the step up at 2.5 miles could be the making of him. So with Willie... very much firing at all cylinders, and the softening grounds in his favour more than it is Ginny's Destiny. I think he's the likeliest winner. Grey Dawning's also a really nice horse. I was slightly concerned about his jumping late on at Warwick. He won that very easily, but that was over 3 miles. The form hasn't worked out yet, has it? And he's dropping back in trip. Dan Skelton had him in the Broadway as well and has decided to go for the shorter trip, but he thinks he's a Gold Cup horse long term. I think he might just be vulnerable to to Facel Vega in terms of speed at this trip. So I've come round full circle to Facel Vega.
Okay. Facel Vega for Rory. Ruby, your take on the Turners?
I'm probably going to end up doing the very same thing. Iroko was the one I was kind of with all along, PK, but the way Willie Mullins turned Gaelic Warrior around, I guess I should know more than most, or me of little faith. I'm not going to desert. Now, this is his last chance. If he doesn't deliver on Thursday, me and Facel Vega are finished, but I'm not going to desert him on Thursday.
Okay, so it's fair to say you have a not even love-hate relationship with him. There's something there. It's testy between you and Facel Vega.
Yeah, and I would be, look, I know what Willie thinks of him, and I stand and listen and watch, and I know the regard Willie holds him in, but hasn't done that on the track yet. And I suppose found a 50 and he let the Tom Brand fine, but, or he found a 50, they did it, the Tom didn't jump, but I'm not going to desert him, but this is it now. We're at the edge of the cliff, me and Facel Vega.
You say that to him as well.
I told him
on Thursday morning, right, Facel Vega. This is it. So race number two. By the way, pop into a Paddy Power shop ahead of that race, have a tenner on it, and you will get yourself a free fiver bet to use on the remainder of the card. Race number two on Thursday is the 10 past two. It is the big handicap hurdle over 3 miles and the Potemps final. Cletus Poulaw, 13-2 favourite. Gwei Kuhl for Ted Walsh and Shane O'Callaghan, 15-2. 8-1 Chantry House for Nicky Henderson. Ooh, how are the Henderson horses going to go? 9-1 I Care Allen for Willie Mullins and 9-1 Gabby's Cross as 10's bar. All right, I Care Allen, Ruby, he obviously ran a Potemps qualifier, so this is obviously the plan?
Yeah, it has been the plan. He ran in the qualifier, as you say, and got qualified up at Liverpool. I don't know, PK. I think, even judging by the ground today, whatever way you look at it, you're going to have to stay to win the race at Cheltenham. I couldn't guarantee anybody he's going to stay in a Potemps qualifier. So, for that reason, I'd be cautious about him. But I'd be shouting for my dad's mare, Gay Cool. She does stay. Shane O'Callaghan rides her. He'd be coming from off the pace on her, taking his time. She'll be coming home. And I'm hoping she can run into the money. But that's where I'd be on it. Gabby's Cross is well touted by a lot of people as well. And I think he's been found in the market now from an each way point of view. But yeah, I'd be shouting for Gay Cool, and she's the one I want to be on.
One for Father Ted. Rory, your thoughts on the Potemps final?
Yeah, I'm going to side with Lemilos, who we talked about a little bit in the anti-post show, looking at the handicaps generally. I just like the way Dan Skelton campaigns his herders. It's fairly brazen, quite frankly. But they get a couple of quiet rides. They manage to get themselves down the handicap, and he's got a tremendous record in the handicap hurdles at the festival. Really interesting that he's going this route with Lemilos. I kind of had in the back of my mind that he had the Grand National in mind again, but clearly he hasn't, because he'd need to have run over fences this year to qualify for the National, and he's confirmed that Lemilos won't go there. And therefore, this is kind of the plan. He's lower over hurdles than he is over fences. He was well beaten last time. It was an Ascot, wasn't it? But I thought he was never really put in the race. Wasn't knocked about at any stage. He shaped okay at Market Race and his reappearance. There's no reason to think he's any worse over hurdles than over fences. The issue is that he hadn't raced over hurdles for a few years. He was a winner just before the festival as a juvenile for Tim Vaughan on bad ground at Sandown over hurdles. And he was as good for Tim over hurdles as he was over fences before he switched stables. And I think the fact that Dan Skelton sent him here suggests that he thinks he's as good in this year as he was over the big ones. We know he'll stay because he won the Coral Trophy, or the Coral Gold Cup rather, at Newbury last season. The National didn't work out from that time around, but he's been lightly raced since. He's a very useful tool, and he'd come here spot on, I'd imagine. So 14-1 makes some appeal to me.
Frank Hickey calling pound for pound the best handicap trainer at the Cheltenham Festival in one of our preview shows. That's Dan Skelton with Lemilos. Ruby sticking with the family, Father Ted's Gwei Kuhl. Okay, on to the Ryanair Chase. By the way, extra places, of course, in that Potemps. I think there's 6 on site. 4 is the field in a wide open Ryanair Chase. Envoy Allen, Stage Star, Bambridge now to 9-2. We're recording, as I said, on Tuesday night. The ground, surely the reason he's been pushed out to 9-2. 13-2 Capitano, Conflated 8-1. Protector at an interesting runner, 10s. Back to you, Ruby, then. I know you put up Envoy Allen way back, I think, with Lydia, what, months ago now, it seems like.
Yeah, I did, and I'd be fairly happy with the way Henry's horses ran today. not alone, Slade Steele, Tell Me Something Girl, Hispanic Moon, and the other one in the Mayor's Hurdle. I think they've run really well. So to have Joseph start in the morning, definitely thank the form for that yard. So they're in good form. Gordon's horse are flying too. It wouldn't put me off any of his. They didn't have a winner today. He hit the crossbar or got in the shake up a lot today as well. So those yards are in great form. So I'm not going to desert Envoy Allen now. I think his record here at Cheltenham speaks for itself, PK, and I'm going to stick with him.
Envoy Allen Berube in the Ryanair. Rory?
I've got a confession to make here. I actually cashed out of my Banbridge bet.
No.
When Alaho came out of this race, because I was worried about the grounds and at the price he was.
Bless 4 or 5 weeks PK, ago. For I have sinned.
Yes, indeed.
It's been 3 days since my last cash out.
I don't think I don't go around cashing bets out like that, especially singles. But I thought, you know, he was into 9-4 for this, and I thought there must be, when it kept raining, I thought there must be a chance of soft ground and him not running at all. So I did cash the bet out for a fair profit at the time. I'd love to see him win, and I'd hate to see him win at the same time. But you've got to think about the horse first rather than your financial situation. So I'd love to see him run well, but the fact that they are considering taking him out, you know, they're going to walk the track first as they did last year. That is off-putting for me. I've, again, with the cash out, I've had that multiple bet, which included Colonel Mustard, who ran well on the Champion Hurdle, but not quite well enough. And I put a Hoy Senor in here at 33s. It's an awful lot shorter now. I think he's capable of running a big race. He's given a very negative ride at Ascot last time out, but he caught the eye in the Cotswold Chase at Cheltenham. Again, I wouldn't be absolutely certain that he would love very deep ground either. So that's a slight concern for him. But as there's nothing else I really want to jump on. I wasn't absolutely convinced by Envoy Allen's jumping when he won this race last year, or indeed when he was a very good second at Down Royal back in November. But, you know, he's been here and done it, so he deserves respect. But I'll be cheering on Ahoy Senor, essentially. But I think the price has now got short enough for me not to want to top up again.
That's fine. I'm putting you down as having backed him, though, at least anyway. Ahoy Senor for Rory, and Envoy Allen could become a 4-time Cheltenham Festival winner if he wins that Ryanair Chase. On to the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. Tiapu, has the rain come at the perfect time for him? 15-8 favourite Crambo for Fergal O'Brien, 9-2. 6-1 Sir Gerhard for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. 13-2 Noble Yates. Gavin Cromwell's Flooring Porter goes back into the hurdling, having tried the chasing earlier on at 10s and 11-1 a big rest. Back to you then, Rory, for the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. We've got the feel we thought we'd get.
Yeah, we have. And I did tip up Flooring Porter for this at 50-1 when he was knocked out just after Gavin said he'd definitely run in the in the National Hunt Chase. I said, well, when a trainer says a horse definitely runs in race A and won't run in race B, you watch to see whether he keeps the horse in race B afterwards. And when he does, you know that it's still in the back of the mind. So I thought that was a daft price by Florian Porter. I backed him at 20s and 25s for this as well. The score with him is fairly simple. He had a setback last year when he came here. He still ran very well to be placed. He's been okay over fences, and his jumping isn't bad, but he just does seem to make a big effort to jump his fences. So he wastes a bit of energy because it's hard for him to jump fences cleanly. He's obviously better this way around. You can ignore his run at Punchestown 2 starts ago. But he's had a cleaner run through this season. He's been fit all year. So I think he's got a decent chance when you consider that there's nothing to be particularly scared of in this division. Nothing's come through as an absolute superstar. So you can see why Gavin Cromwell has decided to give this a go rather than going for the National Hunt Chase. And I think that's the right decision. So I still quite fancy him. He's obviously shortened up markedly for the race. Tiapu's going to be hard to beat, but he looked hard enough to beat last year when he was beaten. He's a year older now, and that should stand to him, and he deserves to be favourite. But I'm happy not to be cheering on Florian Porter still. And although he wouldn't want it hawk deep, you know, the soft ground would be okay for him.
Florian Porter, big anti-post angle there. All right, Ruby, Paddy Power Stayers.
Yeah, I'm not changing my mind. I've been with Noble Yates each way for quite a while now, and I'm sticking with it. I'd be happy. Corbis Cross absolutely bolted in the Maury Mullins National Hunt Chase on the first day. I think he stays cheap pieces. Harry Cobden. Yeah, I just... What price do you know, PK?
I have 13-2 in front of me on Tuesday evening.
13-2. Well, he was 8, but I still think each way I can't see him out of the tree.
Yeah, Noble Yates in the first time combo of the tongue tie and cheap pieces for the inform Emmett Mullins. One runner, one winner on Tuesday anyway.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, Paddy Power Stayer is done. We move on to the 10 past four, which is pretty open. It's the plate handicap, 10 past four. But Crabilly is the real shortener at 130, 5-1 Theatre Man. I should say actually four places on paddypower.com for the stayers as well. So if you do fancy an each way horse, giving you an extra place. Theatre Man, a bit of a mover for Richard Bandy in the plate at 5-1, 13-2 Sam Felicien for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy, 8-1 Shake Him Up Ari, 10-1 a bigger rest. Straight back to you, Ruby, for what looks a very open race.
Yeah, difficult contest and plenty of horses fancy. I see St. Felician being talked up as well. I know AP likes In Excelsis Dale. Glenn Gooley, I think, at the trip, it's the ideal trip for him. I thought he had a really good run in the Tyres test, but I wouldn't be worried about him coming back a little bit as well. But funny one, Jack Kennedy not riding him maybe put me a little bit off, but I like Rian. I thought he ran really well in the Dublin Racing Festival behind Hartwood. They thought at a big price. I'll stick with him.
Yeah, he is. He's 20-1 time recording. Danny Gilligan gets the Plum Mount for Gordon Elliott in the presenting Percy colours, I think it's fair to say. That's what we'll call the Phil Randall colours. Rory?
I'm pretty sweet on Theatre Man here. I gave him a passing mention when we looked at the handicaps before. He's a horse who's young and progressive, and Richard Bandy's done a good job with him. I thought he ran really well when third at Newbury back in December, and he comes here on the back of a staying on second to Ginny's Destiny in the time form, not his handicap chase at Cheltenham on trials day. The softer ground will suit him. He's over hurdles. He ran twice on soft and heavy ground and won both times. And that's he was a close third in a good race on soft ground at Newbury two starts back. So we won't mind the rain. Harry Cobden takes over from Harry Bannister, which is a definite jockey uplift. And I think he's got a massive chance here in a race where he can't fancy that many, I don't think. Famous last words.
Could have a good day, Harry Cobden, by the sounds of things. A couple of selections for him. Anyway, Theatre Man, well backed and flagged up there by Rory. Right, 10 to 5 is the Ryanair Mayor's Novice. They don't get name checked too often, poor old Ryanair, for this race. But brighter days ahead, Jade DeGrugy, Dicer Enos, the big three are all there, Ruby. And the way that Gordon Elliott talks about this brighter days ahead, it's infectious, but Jade DeGrugy's done nothing wrong.
No, she hasn't, but yeah, it is infectious, PK. And look, when he gets off the fence about a horse, doesn't tend to be that far wrong, giving me his credit. So you have to respect it. I'm not going to desert Willie Mullins as filly, but all I can say is when Gordon starts jumping up and down, you really should be listening.
Just Jade DeGrugy, in terms of where there's been so many good novice mares go through Clissutton.
It's hard to tell.
Where would you put her? How excited even are they about her?
Is she a Laurina or a Limini or a, you know, it's hard to know. Maybe more of a let's dance. She's not flashy, PK, but she keeps delivering at the track. And I like that.
Better than the opposite. That's for sure. Rory, your take on this? I know you're a huge fan of Bright Days Ahead, but you were hoping they might go for the mares, but I think she would have struggled.
Yeah, well, she might have struggled against Lossy Mouth, given Lossy Mouth, which was barely off the bridle, she was never off the bridle, was she? I think this is a very special mare. I've been jumping up and down about her longer than Gordon has. But in fairness, Gordon does know slightly better than I do. I loved the way she did things despite getting things wrong at Thurles and Down Royal. She just looked to have an absolutely massive engine and a really good attitude. She simply needed to learn about the mechanics of jumping and stuff like that. And she came out at Navan last time out and she jumped really well. That was over 2.5 miles, but that's just a case of when the race came. It was the Apple Jade hurdle. And I think Connections might have been quite keen to win that race anyway. So she doesn't need that trip. She clearly stays it very well. But I think she's just all class and she's going to take an awful lot of beating here. I know Dice Arenos gets 5 points because she's been deliberately campaigned below graded company, but this makes or breaks my festival, essentially.
Whoa, makes or breaks the festival.
She's by far my biggest bet of the festival. So
I've got a feeling producer Mark will be asking me to clip that up and put that up on the various social the various socials, which you're mad for, Roy. Right, we conclude on Thursday with the Kim Muir, the full quote Kim Muir for the amateur jockeys. I know the way you're thinking. Derek O'Connor has already had a winner in these colours this week at Grabham Cromwell, 7-2. I remember in the preview circuit with yourself, even in the office, Ruby, last week, this can't go off 130-7-2, but it's not getting any bigger. 7-1 Cool Survivor, 8-1 Angels Dawn, 10s Am I Right? The Whacker Clan is 10s. But Ruby, I know the way you're thinking. I don't know the way you're thinking. Do you think he'll win?
My one concern for I know the way you're thinking, PK, is the trip and his pedigree. And I know that was a concern for a lot of people who had lost him out, and she proved she could stay. But when I think you get to 3.25, you're into real stamina. And that is my one concern with him. And I would prefer Where It All Began and Am I Right at 10-11-1 as two each way pokes against him.
Good jockey too, Barry O'Neill, riding Where It All Began for Gordon.
I know Mike Parlin's a good rider too. I wouldn't have any fears of him and Am I Right. I'd be two of them together now. I'll take those.
Lovely stuff, each way, extra place race. Okay, Rory?
I'm certainly not against Ruby's selections there. But I'm going to stick, I haven't gone round and round in circles with it. I'm going to stick with last year's selection, Angels Dawn. I know she's a fair bit higher in the weights this year. She's gone up to 142, but I was convinced she was absolutely thrown in last year because she was... she unseated her rider when absolutely tanking in the Grand National Trial at Punchestown last year, which the handicapper couldn't react to. And I thought if she'd stood up, she'd have won that race by you know, a wide margin and have been at least a stone higher in the weights. Well, she's still not a stone higher in the weights, and she's been laid out for this again. Obviously, she had the Irish National maybe was a bit too much for her on the back of her win here last year, but she still finished sixth. And then she's had two spins over hurdles earlier this year and then ran an absolute storm in the Thyestes last time out. She looks better than ever. She's a very reliable mare. This race has gone to multiple winners in the past, Chute on the 60s. And I just about remember Glide Court winning this back-to-back in the colours of Chris Cronin. John Quealy rode second time. I think Simon Sherwood was on the first time he won. So this is a race that does lend itself to multiple winners. She's been laid out for it. This sort of test, 3.25 miles of soft ground, suits her really well. And you run through the field and you find question marks over plenty of them. And her only question mark is that she might be 2 or 3 pounds too high. That shouldn't stop her being in the frame. So I think she looks a really solid each way bet.
Angels Dawn for back-to-back success in the Kim Muir. That's day three wrapped up. Jeez, lads, we've only one more day to go. But I do need your best bets on day three after Ruby's fabulous winning double on day one. We go straight to you, Ruby Walsh, for your best bet on day three, please.
On day three, I think it's a little bit trickier. And I think I can't see Noble Yates out of the tree. I'm going with him.
Noble Yates each way in the Paddy Power Stairs. Rory?
It's all about brighter days ahead for me. Obviously, the price has shrunk since I put it up initially, but I can't not make her my bet of the day. She's my banker of the meeting, essentially.
Bank of the meeting. Another clip for you, producer Mark. How many more you got, Rory, lined up? Make or break the festival, banker of the meeting. Oh, lovely. Brighter days ahead.
Bet of the century on Friday if this goes wrong.
It's the century, right? Does that mean we get a little video of you going boom on Twitter if this one comes
no,
in?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't. No, none of that nonsense. Jeez.
Do the little gifs. Right in his head. All right. Okay. Listen, Ruby also signed autographs in the way room. So we better say goodbye at this stage or in the press area. Who's looking for autographs in the press area? Surely they all know Rue Walsh is. Listen, lads, thanks a million for your time. Be back for day four. A reminder of the Paddy Power YouTube channel, as always, check it out. Rory, I wish you the best luck of brighter days ahead. I'll be thinking of you. Ruby,
thank you.
Enjoyed your first day in the tactics truck. It was excellent stuff.
Cheers, PK. I didn't say too much. Not much happened to point out, but anyway.
Yeah, which I imagine is tricky for you. I know there was obviously the Rachel at the start of the article was something to point out, which you didn't see in real time. But yeah, there wasn't a huge amount, but you know, it kept it interesting.
Yeah, but sure, look, there's no point in making TV trying to dramatize something that didn't happen either.
Exactly. Right, folks, check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Don't forget the free bet. Don't forget to go to the fan zone, get the tickets, and don't forget to bag a few winners. See you guys.